You're listening to Tales of the Forsaken, a live play Fatecore game by Noble Jester Productions. Welcome to Rillian, a Western fantasy world where magic needs fuel, and that fuel is mined and refined into Ecton, a place of vast deserts, dark rituals, and greedy mining companies. A dwarf awakens and has forgotten who he is. Who is Verboden, and how will he seek to remember his past in the midst of this harsh world?
Welcome to our season one finale. We're excited to finally be here. It's been a lot of fun recording this, and we are already at recording season two, which is exciting. So just wanted to drop in a special thank you to all our listeners and joining us on the story that we are passionate about telling. Anything to say, Jesse? You're speechless.
Yeah, speechless. No, just want to say thank you so much for all of you who have stuck with us throughout season one. Our aim was to tell a really good story that we felt like people could follow along and connect with and learn about this character, Verboden. And hopefully we did that. If you're just joining us with this episode, I don't know why you would, but welcome. Hopefully you enjoy it and that causes you to go back and listen. But listeners, prepare for season two because things are going to get crazy.
Yep. And stay tuned at the end of this episode for a just a little teaser of season two.
Well, nothing else. I can crash a train into Orion.
He's going to run towards you, axe up. So Jarl rushes across the car at you, his axe raised. What are you going to do?
Shoot, man, we're just getting right into this. In this train, are there things around that I feel like I could maybe potentially like toss over in front of him to try to create an advantage?
In this specific car, there is a lot of luggage, as well as the large Ecton drill right next to you.
Got it.
Which had like a tarp over it, so you could potentially make use of that if you wanted to.
Oh yeah, I actually like that. Well, I'm gonna try to grab the tarp and grab it and like throw it in front, trying to create an advantage of obstructing his path and view.
Okay. Yeah. So let's go ahead and have you roll. What do you think you would roll for trying to throw this tarp?
It's kind of a new type of thing I'm doing here. Let's go with.
I can see physique.
Yeah.
I can see athletics. I could even see something like survival, maybe even bluff if you wanted to.
I think I like athletics with this because it's kind of there's a bit of a finesse to trying to grab this and doing it in the right fashion. So I'm going to go with athletics.
Okay.
Which is that plus one skill. Total of one.
Right. He is going to contest that also with athletics. He's trying to just kind of run down the car at you.
Mm-hmm.
He also got a one.
Okay.
So up to you if you want to boost that with a fate point or if you want to just leave it be.
Were there any other aspects that we had set that were existing for the scene that I could potentially call upon? Do we have like moving train or something?
Yeah, we had moving train and we had lots of baggage.
Okay, let's go with me here. Let's say moving train and like, that second where he's trying to push off to go is a second where it kind of shifted the other way. So it just gives me a little bit more of a time to get that out in front of him.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
So that is a success. So you can go ahead and create an aspect. You're kind of creating an advantage for yourself here. So you can create an aspect, whatever you want to call it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just call it tarp in the air.
Tarp in the air. All right. And you have a free invoke on that.
Okay.
All right. So you throw this tarp in the air and he kind of runs into it and he's trying to fight his way through it. It's kind of still draped across one shoulder as he makes it to you and it's going to swing his axe at you.
Okay.
So you have this free invoke. You can use it, but he is making an attack against you.
Okay. I'm definitely going to use the free invocation of tarp in the air because gravity will keep that from lasting too long. So I'm going to use physique here to defend.
All right. You got a three.
Okay, I got a... That's a 7.
Okay. So you definitely succeed with style.
Mm-hmm.
So he misses you, and I'd say, you know, you can go ahead and give yourself a boost, or I'd actually let you just have a second free invocation of Tarp in the Air if you want to kind of, you know, or maybe not Tarp in the Air anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Tarp wrapped around him, you know, something
Yarl,
like that.
Yarl in the Tarp?
Yeah. Yarl in the Tarp.
You threw him up on the shelf. Yeah, Yarl in the Tarp. Doesn't exactly rhyme as close.
Doesn't, but that's okay. That's probably a better way to do it. We'll just have that, you know, give you another free invocation because you succeeded so well.
Okay. Yeah. So, am I up?
Yes. I also am curious if you would like to spend a fate point to have his axe hit the Ectodrill.
Ooh.
Because he missed so badly.
Uh-huh.
Totally up to you.
Yeah, that's
I don't
intriguing.
Know what your plan is with the Ectodrill, but...
I don't either. So... it's a bit of a complication. This just brings me back to having to pick between me and Ada getting hit with an axe. Now I'm deciding if the drill's getting hit with this axe and what that would do. I mean, I did kind of want it to be destroyed originally.
There is kind of a little bit of a irony to him killing his own mother and him destroying his own Ectodrill.
I love that. Because of that, I am definitely going to spend a fate point. His axe hits the Ectodrill.
Alright, so he is rushing across the car at you. This tarp is up in the air. It's wrapped around him. He's kind of tripping over it. He's still, you know, just kind of with an angry roar, swings his axe at you. And this tarp catches in his legs, and he just goes flying axe first into this Ectodrill. The axe slams into the drill. And... You know, at this point, a bit about magic items, that they're hardier than your normal items. Mm-hmm. You know, they're it takes a little bit of effort, you know, a lot more than just a normal. You couldn't just shoot a magic item and destroy it or hit right. it with an axe. But his axe appears to be magical in some way because it smashes into this thing and sparks fly everywhere, including landing on some of the baggage in this car, and starts to spark up.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and spend a fate point.
Okay.
To add another aspect here. I'm going to change the lots of baggage to baggage on fire.
Oh, this is physical baggage. I thought this was like Verboten's baggage, you know, catch.
Well, there's probably lots of that too.
There's a lot of that too.
All right,
baggage on fire.
He is kind of, you know, trying to work his way out of this Ectodrill. It's sparking, and there is baggage that is starting to light up all around you. What are you going to do?
Okay, so I'm going to yell over to Yarl. Yarl, give it up, man. This isn't going to go how you want it. And then I'm going to try to, like, tackle him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What is your goal in tackling him? Are you trying to create an advantage for yourself? Are you trying to attack him? Are you trying? What are you trying to do here?
I mean, I'm trying to stop him. Like, he expressed his stated goal was to crash this train. So I'm trying to, at this point, subdue him. So maybe I'll try to, by tackling him, I'm going to try to create an advantage to subdue him.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and roll. Okay. I'd say, probably physique for that?
Yeah.
The same.
It's a total of 3.
He got a 1.
Okay.
Yeah, you succeed. So we'll go ahead and create another aspect. You do still have a invoke of Yarl in the Tarp if you want to.
Is that a free one or just with a fate point?
That was a free one. You still have a free one on that. Although you don't necessarily need it. You've now created an advantage here. Do you want to? I guess we'll just create a new aspect here. Of
Yarl pinned, is that
sure
that work?
Yeah, I mean, we'll just go with pinned, and you get free use of that.
Okay,
and you have 2 free invokes.
Okay,
all right, he's going to try to row you off, and he's gonna
try to throw you into some of this baggage that is on fire.
Okay.
So he's going to use physique.
I've also used physique.
It's a 6.
I rolled a 3. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to use that one of the free invokes for him and the tarp. Okay. To at least make it a 5.
So he is trying to damage you.
Okay.
He throws you kind of across the room into some burning baggage. So you're going to take 1 point of physical stress.
Ooh. I might want to use both. Can I use both free invokes at the same time?
Yeah.
So I should do that. So I'm actually going to use both pin and girl on the tarp.
All right.
To make sure that I succeed, because I ain't got no more boxes on my stress track.
All right. You could just take a minor consequence. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
Sure. Sure. But in this sort of fight, he's looking pretty okay. So yeah, I'm just going
to
do that.
All right. So he, you know, he's trying to force you off of himself, but this tarp is still kind of, you know, restraining him. You've got him pinned, and he's just trying to get out from under you, throw you off, but he fails.
Okay.
So you're up.
All right, awesome.
So you've got him down on the ground underneath you. You know, he's still pinned. That's still true, even though you don't have free invoke of it. What are you doing?
Oh, man. I was not expecting to actually get a one-up on him at all like this. I'm just going to, like, as I'm on top of him, got him pinned down, I'm just like, oh, man, I'm going to give you one chance, man. You stop this here, don't make me hurt you.
All right. He is, you know, struggling against you, trying to knock you off when you say that, and he kind of slowly relaxes. He says,
okay, we can talk.
Brett knows this is a bad idea.
I mean, you're welcome to try to, you know, read him or something if you want to try to see if he's telling the truth or not.
Yeah, let's go ahead and I want to try to maybe investigate or more of a, what do we use here? Like will, like an intuition type thing?
Yeah, I'd say will. You could use influence, one of the two.
Okay. Yeah, I'll use will here just to try to get a gauge on he's gonna be stupid again. That is a 4 total.
Alright, he got a 2. He is, just from what you know of Jarl, he has lied to you and tricked you and or tried to trick you, you know, multiple times. You don't get the feeling that he's doing anything in this moment except trying to get you off of him.
Okay. So I kind of hesitate for a moment while I've heard his answer, and I'm remembering back to, you know, let's try to kill Jasper. He lied to me about what he's doing in Twin Rivers. He kidnapped people from Silver Ridge and was going to push them off a cliff. And I catch myself realizing I can't be so forgiving with him, and reach up and I'm going to smack him in the face through the tarp.
All right. Go ahead and make an attack.
Okay. Use my fight skill, that's a 2.
Right, you got a 3.
Oh. Now the aspect of him, like, pinned or you're on the tarp, those are still there, just not a free invocation of those, correct?
Correct. You could still use a fate point to make use of those, you know, to invoke those aspects. They're still true. They're just not. You don't have a freeze.
Okay, so I'm going to use my last fate point for invoking you're on the tarp.
You did get one back, because I used one.
Oh, okay.
For lighting the bag on fire.
Sweet. Okay, so then I will use one of my last 2, so I have 1 left. I'm going to use Jarl on the tarp, because he's not going to see this coming. Man, I'm going to sucker punch him.
Okay. So you're going to add +2?
Add +2, yep.
All right, so he'll take 1 shift of physical stress.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, so you clock him through this tarp, and you can see, you know, nose starts to spurt blood, and he kind of growls and he spits this blood up at you, and he's going to try to bring his axe up and around, and he's just going to try to smash it inside your head.
Oh, okay. Oops, forgot he still had that. That is a 2.
You got a 4.
Okay. I'm going to use my last fate point to invoke pinned. and have that not succeed.
All right. I am going to have him use a fate point.
Okay.
To invoke moving train.
Oh.
And have it succeed.
Okay.
So you add +2. He's going to add +2. So you're going to still take 2 shifts of physical stress.
Okay.
So he tries to bring this axe around and you try to hold his arm down, but your arm slips as the train jostles and he brings this axe and smashes it into the side of your head.
Okay.
So 2 shifts of physical stress.
Yeah, so I am out of physical stress boxes, so I need a consequence.
All right, so minor consequence. I'm going to say that he smashes this into kind of, into your eye. And I'm going to do kind of a partially blinded.
Okay.
Which is just going to kind of exist as an aspect that may be used against you.
Okay. Bummer. Okay.
So that's your minor consequence.
Got it.
And you're up.
Okay, yeah. So I get hit and I kind of fall. I'm going to stagger back with that. I would assume getting cracked in the face and starting to bleed. I kind of pull my hand up and feel the blood coming down, trying to like clear it out of my eye. And then I think I'm going to pull another pistol out and realizing that I can't go easy on him. And I'm going to try to shoot him.
All right.
That's a 4.
You get a 3.
Okay.
All right. So that's going to use his 2 box. All right. So you pull a pistol out, you shoot him, and you obviously hit him as he's still struggling with this tarp. And he pauses for a moment. And then he kind of clambers up on his knees. And he throws his axe at you.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna try to dodge this and use my athletics here. Hey, I rolled pretty good. That's a 4.
It's a 6.
Ooh, okay. So I would assume the aspects of pinned, you're on the tarp, those are both gone.
I mean, they're still there. You could, you could invoke them with a fate point if you really want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's up to you.
Okay. I have 1 fate point left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to use moving train, the same type of thing, where the axe goes wide.
Okay. So it, the axe goes barely past you. And he's standing there, doesn't have his axe anymore. He holds his hand out, and it suddenly materializes in his hand.
Oh. Okay. That sucks. That's awesome, but it sucks for me.
Yarl's had some upgrades.
Yeah, he has.
The advantages of working with a dragon.
Yeah, that makes sense. Checks out. Okay. Any changes with the Ectondryl? Is it still kind of like sparking? And...
Yeah, I mean, it's still sparking. The baggage in this car is now, pretty fully lit on fire. So your area of movement is pretty restricted to just the middle of this car.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I just yell back over at Jarl. Jarl, man, it's over, man. You got to stop this. You're not going to win. And I'll shoot at him again.
All right.
That's a 6.
He also got a 6.
Ooh. I'm out of fate points.
He brings the axe around, and you see your bullet just ting off of it. And he stands up and kind of shoves this tarp off of himself. So now Hindenjarl and tarp are just gone.
Okay.
And he's kind of breathing a little bit heavy. And he says,
"You're right. It is over. For you."
And he's going to rush at you and try to hit you with his axe.
Okay. There's physique here.
7.
Oh man, I'm rolling good too. I got a 6 though.
Alright.
Oh, okay.
You don't have any fate points.
No fate points.
1 physical stress here. So I think at this point, I'm going to offer to you to kind of concede this and we can kind of move on.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, that'd be a moderate consequence. I think so.
Yeah, I mean, if you keep. Well, yeah. Let's say that, he rushes over, he slams this axe into your side, and your vision just goes black for a moment. You, just from the pain and the blood loss and the exhaustion, you kind of collapse, and he rips his axe out of your side. He bends down to you a little bit, and he says,
"Boden, I may be a fool, but this is where trying to be a hero gets you."
And he He's just going to kind of rear back and kick you. And then he turns and he runs out the door. So you're laying there on the floor of this train car. The fire is building all around you. You can see that your blood pooling around you. And you suddenly begin to feel this terrible pull on your mind. Your fingers start to twitch as you feel this compulsion begin to set in. And it feels familiar and awful. Your mind kind of opens and starts to flash back to cycle after cycle after cycle of living your life, doing whatever you are doing, when recovering your memories, chasing after the chalice, trying to save people, all these things that you have filled your time with. And each time you suddenly, at some point, start to feel a closing down of your mind, a narrowing of your memories, and this compulsion kick in. You feel kind of these intrusive thoughts begin to pour into your mind of, I need to find a place to hide. I need to make my final preparations. I am ending.
Oh, man.
You're laying there on the the train floor, your blood pooling around you. And your eye catches on your pistol. It's fallen out of your belt. It's laying in this pool of blood, and the eyes are glowing.
Laying down there and seeing this, I speak to myself like, this can't be, not yet. And seeing the pistol lay there, thinking back of when I fought the Dream Leech and running through the blood and empowering the chalice, and now seeing these eyes flare from the pistol, and that connection clicks of dragon's blood and its power. And I fight and try to have some resolve to stand up.
Okay. I'm going to have you roll will.
Okay.
I feel like this is a test of Verboden's will, whether you can fight through these injuries and continue on.
Okay. This one's not -4. So I rolled -1 with my will. That's a 1 total.
Okay. You kind of, fight your way up to one knee. You're struggling, but you're still awake at least.
Mm-hmm. Where am I bleeding from?
Well, you've got some blood on your face, but you also just have a kind of a gaping wound in your side that blood is pouring out of.
Yeah, I'm going to hold the pistol up to my side where that chamber is that would hold the Ecton, and just almost squeeze my side and have that blood flow down into the pistol.
Yeah, so you hold it there and you see this, this glass vial fill up with your dark red blood, and the eyes of the pistol are still glowing. You'd have to fire it to try to, see if it worked, but...
Mm-hmm. Is Jarl totally out of sight now?
Yeah, he's moved out of the car you're in.
Okay. Well, then I would aim towards where he ran to. Is the door open or closed into the next car?
It's open.
Okay, so I'm going to aim through that open door, and I'm going to try to shoot the lightning Ecton mode, see if it works.
Okay. You thumb that lever and feel the familiar sensation in your mind of choosing between these elements. And you select the lightning mode and fire. You feel yourself propelled forward into the next car.
Oh, man.
You can see this next car is some sort of a dining car again, but this one is quite a bit more fancier than the one you had left previously. There are people in this car who are just dressed extraordinarily fancy and who are in the middle of, champagne and caviar, essentially, kind of their high class meal that they're, and they're all screaming and shocked as Jarl has now barreled through and is about to open the door on the other side when you suddenly surge into the room through lightning. You land, you know, still on your knees. You can see Jarl across the car.
Okay. Am I up again?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to yell out to Jarl with whatever energy I have left. Jarl, it's not over yet. And I'm going to try to shoot poison at him.
All right. Go ahead and make your attack.
It's only 2 total.
All right. He got a 2 as well.
Okay.
I think for you conceding, you know, kind of getting forced out of that fight, I'd give you a fate point.
Okay.
So you can use that here if you want to.
Okay. So the aspects that would be still applicable would be most likely to moving train.
Moving train, your aspects. If we want to set some scene aspects, we can here. I mean, he's got a bunch of people all around him. And
how about this? Why don't I invoke my trouble aspect of I'm ashamed of my past, and a big part of that has been Jarl and that shame from him. And I think Verboden now in this moment is realizing that Jarl was on this path. It wasn't Verboden's fault. So I think there's some like recognition of that, trying to reconcile that in this moment.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Okay. All right, so I'll use that fate point and do that. So that would make it a... So that make it a 4 total?
Yeah, so you do 2 points of physical stress to him, and you fire, you toggle the lever, you select poison, and you once again kind of see that familiar energy course out of him and into you. You feel that wound in your side kind of close, and you're still hurt, you're still bloody, but you're not actively
bleeding out.
Yeah. And you would regain your 2 box.
Okay.
He's going to turn as this, bullet slammed into him, and he looks back at you, and he's just kind of looks angry and tired and frustrated. And he just growls, and he opens the door and rushes through it, slams it closed.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to get up off my knees onto my feet and start running after him.
Okay. You run to the end of the car. You open the door. There's another car. Door's closed.
I think I'm going to, instead of running through the car, is there a ladder there where I can get up on top of the train car?
There is, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to climb up there.
All right. You climb up on top, and you can see you're only a couple of cars away from the engine. But yeah, what do you want to do?
I'm going to keep running forward.
All right. You run forward. As you kind of get to the end, you see the door slam open. Jarl burst through it, trying to open this next door. So you've kind of got you've got your action. He doesn't really know you're there.
Yeah, I think with having a clean shot, I'm going to try to shoot. Actually, I think I'm going to try to shoot ice at him, because that'll get me a 5 on my stress track with that. Like, as long as I'm going to have to hit to get that. So yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. All right, so you toggle the lever, select ice, and fire.
That is a total of 3.
You got a 2.
Nice.
All right, so you plunking away at him.
Mm-hmm.
Another box. He's not looking good, and you feel the ice shards kind of form up on yourself. And, he stumbles and still smashes through this next door.
Okay. Does the engine car, is it like, has a total roof on it? Or is there any like open portion of the train car that's like not enclosed on the front of the train? Does that make sense what I'm asking?
Yes, the engine is larger than the cars.
Okay.
But you don't see an opening. So you could, from here, you could shoot your way to the engine and smash into it, probably have to make a roll or something to not fall off the train.
Yeah, but, be a little dangerous, yeah.
But you could get up to the engine.
Yeah, I probably won't use lightning mode. That's a little risky up here, so I will go on to that next car.
Still on top?
Still on top.
Okay. Yeah, so you rush running across the top of this car, and he is going to make an attack against you through the roof of this car. So that is a 7.
I got very distracted by you saying he was attacking me through the roof, and I forgot to roll. I was like, oh, what's happening now? Okay, so I'm going to defend with physique. That's 6.
All right. So you are running when suddenly the, you know, this axe blade slams up through the roof of the car and catches your foot. You're going to take a point of physical stress.
Okay, mark off my 2 on my stress track.
And you kind of fall to your knees and you're up.
Okay, so is the axe still stuck in my foot?
No, it didn't like stick into your foot. You just kind of tripped over it.
Okay, got it. Just caught it. Okay. Well, I'm going to keep going and I'm going to jump across to the next car.
Okay. The next one would be the engine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then I'll get on top of the engine.
Okay. I'm going to say because he kind of successfully tripped you with that, that before you get to the end, you hear the door slam open, the engine door opens, you hear a scream from inside, and then a gurgle. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what are you going to do?
Jeez. Okay. yeah, so I'm going to get on top of that engine car, try to do it a little bit quietly, and I want to go up to like a side and look over and see if I can see in. If there's windows, I don't know what the layout is.
Yeah, there's windows on the side. You look in and you see Jarl standing over the engineer who is dead on the floor. And Jarl's kind of surveying the controls of this train.
Okay. Well, if he's looking at the controls, he's not looking at me, so I'm going to try to shoot poison at him through the window.
Okay.
Come on, good rolls. Dang. It's 3. I used all my good rolls in the beginning when I wasn't trying to kill him.
He got a 4.
Crap. Okay.
So you fire, and you can see that he, glances over his shoulder at you, and then he just starts slamming his axe into the controls of the train. And, he kind of slams his axe into it a couple of times, and then he grabs this lever that's on the ground and just rips it off. And he turns, and he's going to throw that lever at you.
Okay. It's like a lot for a turn.
All right, yeah, no, actually, I agree. He's not going to throw the lever at you. That would be an attack, and I think he's already used that on the train itself. So, you're up.
Okay, cool. Then I'm going to take that opportunity and try to shoot him again with the poison.
All right.
A little better. It's a 4 total. Still not great.
Oh, he only got a 3.
Yes!
All right, so that you hit him, and he spins, kind of getting shot in the shoulder, and you feel that energy once again just pour into you, clear your one box. He's going to open the door and climb up on top of the engine, and he's going to attack you. He looks pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
He does not look like he's doing well.
Okay.
He's going to attack you. It's a 5.
I also roll a 5.
Okay. So he climbs up on top of the train, and he swings his axe at you, and, it slams down and hits the engine. You're kind of hanging off, mm-hmm. a little bit, because you were firing into the engine. So he's standing over you. His axe has kind of been buried into the top of the engine. And he's breathing heavily, he's bleeding. He looks down at you and he says,
"It's too late. There's nothing you can do."
"Wrong as always, Jarl. There's always something I can do. You know what? It's not me, it's somebody else. People who are here, it wasn't like you." Then I'm going to try to shoot him again with poison.
Okay.
That's a 1 total.
You definitely beat that.
Mm-hmm.
He got a 5.
Ooh.
Okay. So he's going to get a boost against you.
Yep.
He's going to rip the axe out. He says,
I've never claimed to be a hero. I am doing what needs to be done.
And he's going to attack you again.
Okay.
He's trying to essentially, you know, kind of chop your hands off and make you fall off this train.
Yeah, good times.
It's a 5.
I rolled 6.
All right. So you are holding on. He,
yep.
He slams his axe down at you.
It's like right in between the fingers, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You're up.
All right. Man, I feel vulnerable hanging here.
You don't have to stay hanging there. You can move as a part of your action.
Yeah, so I want to try to, like, can I try to swing and jump through the window? Is it, like, feasible where I'm at here?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, try to do that.
Yeah, so you jump through the window, and now you're inside the engine. He's on top of it.
Okay, well, I'm not going to use any of the Ecton mode stuff. I'm just going to try to shoot approximately where I think he is through the roof of the train.
Okay.
4 total.
All right, he got a 3. I don't think that boost is really something that he can make use of with you now inside the train. Mm-hmm. So how do you want to do this?
Nice. Yeah, so crash through the window, get on my feet, land here, and remembering where he was, I aim up and shoot, and then kind of wait a second and just quiet.
You shoot, and you hear a smash, and then his body falls, and he grabs onto the side of the train. He's, like, right there outside the window,
mm-hmm.
hanging on for dear life. He looks like he's, like, kind of struggling to stay awake.
I kind of walk forward a little bit, seeing him there, and...
Darling, wish better for you. I had hope for you that you could be something other than this monster you become. You know what? I don't blame myself anymore. I didn't make you like this. You probably would have been like this without me. And I'm sorry for you. Wish your mom had something different for her life instead of you destroying it and others. This is where your train ride ends. I aim the gun up and right at his face. Pull the trigger.
Okay. I am going to use a fate point, and he lets go. So I'll give you a fate point back.
Okay.
And he goes flying up, you know, into the air and tumbles, and he's gone.
Okay. I immediately turn, looking at the train controls, seeing if there's anything I can figure out to stop this. Is there an emergency brake? I don't know how the train even works.
I'm going to have you go ahead and roll mechanics.
Okay.
To see if you can quickly figure out how this works.
It's a -1.
All right. That's not a good roll.
Sure is not.
Do you want to use your fate point?
Yeah, let's use that. Let's use that last fate point. I'm just going to invoke my high concept, just with the ability to absorb knowledge quickly. So working with magical stuff, realizing this is most likely powered by Ecton as well. If I'm not incorrect, then I can figure out something that would help here.
Yeah. All right. You going to use that for a reroll, or are you going to do the +2?
Let's go. I'm going to go reroll.
Okay.
So 1 total.
Okay. It's tough to tell how this necessarily works.
Okay.
But you pick up a couple of things. There is a kind of a speed gauge that is far over in the red. You see kind of a fuel gauge that looks like it's dropping.
Okay.
And you get the feeling just from kind of looking around at different things that there is an emergency brake, and that is what Jarl ripped out of the floor.
Okay, but realizing that it's taking fuel, can I see if there's any like Ecton or fuel or whatever that I can see this on this engine? Like, what is feeding it? I'm gonna try to look for that.
From inside of here, you can't tell.
Okay, so first step then, I think I'm going to try to go to the end of the engine to where the next car would be, and I'm going to try to look and see if there's a way I can disconnect these back cars from the engine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so you go out and, you know, it's a pretty simple mechanism, so I'm not going to have you roll for that. But, yeah, I mean, there's a pin, essentially, that's holding these, you know, this collar in place that connects to the next car. You could pretty easily remove it.
Okay, yeah, so I'm going to holster my pistol, and then I'm going to yank that pin out.
Okay, yeah, so you yank that out. You feel the entire train jerk as you kind of get almost flung off as you're suddenly now going a heck of a lot faster.
Oh, dang.
And all of those cars start to fall behind.
Okay. With the cars gone, now I'm going to try to get back up on the top of this engine, and I'm looking for fuel at this point. Anything that looks like a canister or any container that would hold that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have you go ahead and roll investigate.
Okay. Oh, my rolls suck. That's a negative two.
All right. It's hard to tell. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no obvious container or canister or anything that you could tell would be full of ectin.
Okay. So I'm going to look up ahead at the tracks. Like, do I see anything in the distance, or are we still out in the middle of nowhere?
Well, you are currently you look up and the wind is rushing in your face. You know, your eyes are watering. It's kind of hard to see, but you're traveling through a forest.
Okay.
You've quite a while ago, actually, you exited the desert and are now in the forest. This is the border forest that leads up to the Four Nations.
Okay.
It's kind of the border between Four Nations and New Frontier. So it's hard to tell if there's much in front of you.
Okay.
Aside from just long, straight track.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if I had more time to try to look, or if with like the roll, if it's like that's just kind of like that sticks and I can't find anything that looks interesting.
You have more time. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you don't see a wall or, you know, the city or anything up in front of you at this point.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm going to try to maybe go back into the train car, see if I can find any sort of pipes, anything. I'm just trying to like gather information. It's like, how does this thing work? How is it propelled?
Yeah, so you take a little more time and try to look, you know, now that you're obviously it's still urgent, mm-hmm. but you've at least saved the passengers. You know, they will, you assume, slowly slow down.
Yeah, hopefully.
You take some more time, you look over, and eventually you do notice there is ectin that is kind of streaming out the bottom of this engine.
Like, out onto, like, the track?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, clearly something is damaged.
Okay.
But it's going to be tough to get to that. You don't see any obvious pipes or anything in your immediate vicinity.
Okay.
It's underneath.
Got it. So, the mental dilemma here is, do I think the fuel could run out before it gets to the station or not? So I've got no way to stop the brake.
Not necessarily no way.
Well, sure. Is there anything else around that I could see that's like, I could try to jam in, like rip off and jam into where that emergency brake was?
Well, I'm going to say it's still on top of the car.
Oh, okay.
Is he carried it up there, left it there when he, you know, when you shot him and he fell.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna climb up, grab that, get back in the car, and start trying to jam it in there and see if this is gonna work.
All right, I'm gonna let you roll for that. I'd say that would probably be mechanics, unless you're just trying to brute force it.
Probably, yeah, that's a mechanics thing.
I don't know if you took mechanics.
I didn't.
I think you probably should have.
Well, sure.
Well.
Yeah, that's a negative one.
All right. Yeah, I mean, you're jamming this thing down into there, and it's doing nothing.
Oh, man. I'm going to go and look down where that pipe is leaking out, the ecton, again. Where is it exactly?
Are you going to, like, stick your head down there try to see?
Uh-huh.
All right, so you, holding on as best as you can, kind of put your head down, and you can see that there is a kind of a large canister that is, you know, has a hole in the side that is leaking ecton, mm-hmm. and it's underneath the engine.
Oh man. Kind of stop and pause for a second. Shake my head. Kind of grunt. Yeah, remembering that ecton ambush that we had before. That's the thing that pops in my head of how to potentially stop this thing. So I'm going to kind of lean over, up and around, and I'm going to aim the ecton pistol up towards that pipe that's leaking out. And simultaneously, I want to shoot fire mode at it, and then also kind of let go and roll off the back of this train.
All right. Yeah, so you toggle the lever, you select fire, you shoot, you roll off, and just instant pain.
Yeah.
I mean, you slam into the ground, you are rolling, you're hitting train tracks, rocks. You dropped off this thing going at an extremely high speed. All combined with there's suddenly an explosion that hits you and causes you to roll faster. I definitely need some kind of a probably physique roll.
That's only a 1 total.
Alright.
Yeah.
You hit and you black out. I'm going to have you take a moderate consequence of, I don't know, like broken leg at something.
Yeah, I would have like multiple fractures and a concussion. Like
every bone in your body broken.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean you can still move, but you are, you know, when you wake up, but you're gonna be in extreme pain.
Yeah.
Wounds opened again, bleeding, broken bones. Yeah, if you don't get to a doctor or somebody, you're going to die pretty quickly.
Okay.
But you black out.
Mm-hmm.
As you are floating in this, you know, state of unconsciousness, not quite dreams, but just these flashes of your life are flashing through your awareness, previous lives, these different people's faces, people that you've hurt, people that you've saved, people that you've interacted with that have meant something to you, and kind of all of them wrapping around this figure of Yendra and her appearing in your memories, her hearing, you know, you seeing her in various different lives, all of it kind of always emotionally painful, and these things are kind of just flashing through your mind and they're disappearing. Your memories, your recollections, these people that have made an impact on you that you had now remembered for a short time are just erasing themselves from your mind. And you come to, you're not sure where you are. You're laying on, you know, the side of these train tracks. You just awash in pain. But none of that matters a ton because you feel this extreme, almost burning in your mind of, I gotta find somewhere to hide. I gotta find something to mark down my name with. And you, I mean, this is like an extreme compulsion. You have no other choice. You've got to get moving.
Okay. So, with whatever strength I have, I try to get up. Looking around, do I see anything? Is the, the train that I, the train cars I released, is that creeping up towards me at all? Like, is that in sight?
No, you don't see those at all. Okay. Those would have slowed down way more rapidly than, you were traveling. You took a decent amount of time to kind of look over the engine. So that is a ways off from you. You can see a large, kind of burning in the distance. There's woods on either side that you could make your way into.
Yeah, that makes the most sense. I was just trying to find something. So I'll head to my right, go towards those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're kind of half walking, half crawling, mm-hmm. as one of your legs isn't working very well. You can feel broken bones inside of yourself, and you spend a couple hours wavering in and out of consciousness. Mostly what's keeping you going is this compulsion, and eventually you find yourself on a dirt road. You're almost like shocked to realize that you've been walking, on this dirt road, and you can see up in front of you a clearing.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll head up to that clearing and look around.
Okay. You can see buildings. This looks to be some sort of a small, not necessarily a town. There's like four buildings, but looks like there's a larger building kind of that's central. You do see up in the trees there are some platforms and what look like guards, and your compulsion makes you instantly try to hide behind something.
Okay.
You clearly don't want to be seen. Your curse is triggering and you need to get somewhere away from people, hidden, find something to write your name.
Yeah. Okay. Do I feel like with the situation of this outpost, is there a building that doesn't look occupied that I feel like I could get to? Or does it look like there's no way I'm going to be able to do that?
It looks like there's a large central, almost like a large house that's been built here. And then there's what looks to be kind of like an outbuilding that maybe is a barracks, something like that. And then a barn of some sort, mm-hmm. and what looks kind of in the back, a shed.
Okay. I'll head over to, I'll try to get to the barn, sneak over to there.
Okay.
Look for a way in.
Yeah, so you are kind of making your way through the trees and make your way over to the barn, and you hear voices inside this barn. So you're kind of attention is dragged over to this shed that's mm-hmm. in the back of this property.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll head in there.
Okay. Yeah. You kind of slam the door open. You're looking around. There is a piece of wood that you just kind of feel yourself drawn to. You rip it off one of the walls and you're desperately looking through the items in this shed for paint, something to mark on this wood. There's nothing.
Yeah, so I realizing that, I look at the pistol, I open up the chamber that has my blood, what's left in there, and I start pouring it out, dipping my finger in that, and then start to write on this piece of wood that I found. So I write Verboten, and then if I have any blood left, I'm going to write the sheriff underneath that.
Okay. Yeah, so you write Verboten, the sheriff. Any, you have moments, anything else you want to do before this compulsion fully kicks in?
Oh man, I'm trying to think of anything else that would in such a short time, what would he want to tell himself? I think he would try his best to write Silveridge if he can.
Yeah, you probably would have to use blood from your own cell, mm-hmm. But you've got plenty of that that yeah. is all over you. But yeah, you write Silveridge on the side of this
I would also try to write, find the chalice.
You write that, and you kind of just throw yourself into the back of this shed. You feel things kind of crashing down around you, and you're just hugging this piece of wood to your chest, and your memories, your awareness, everything fades. And this cycle of Verboden's awareness ends. Your curse triggers, your memory is wiped, and your physical form shifts and changes. About an hour later, the door of this shed opens. A woman walks in. Her skin is dark, her hair is pulled back. It's Yindra. She walks in and she sees you laying there, your eyes closed, your breathing shallow. She waves a hand over you and your wounds all close. She looks down at you just with a look of sorrow and pain in her expression. She's just kind of standing there considering you. And then she reaches down and she waves her hand over the board that you're hugging, and all of the text disappears except your name. She pulls a bag out of her pocket and looks down at it. She drops it on you, and coins clink, a few spill out of this bag. And then she reaches down, she takes the pistol, she looks at it, she puts it in her belt, and she bends down, she kisses your forehead, she leaves.
Before time, when the world was dark, the Creator gave all to bring forth the world, and his true heirs reigned. In turn, Rin's heirs. But the usurper rose, her power terrible to behold. She stole the flame, enslaved the bodies, and twisted the minds of the true children. Together they shall rebuild the world as it was meant to be at the time of completion. There shall be three heirs, one to restore the body, one to restore the flame. Rin's true children shall be blessed under the light it gives. The mighty one will rise. He will use the beacon of light to restore Rin's blessing, unite the three heirs, cast down the usurper, restore order to Rin's world.